The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
What's going on, everybody? The Eagles are in the Super Bowl. This is BGN Radio, episode number 308. I'm Jimmy Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of Bleeding Green Nation. Our deepest apologies, condolences, etc. For not doing a wrap-up pod on the Eagles 49ers NFC Championship game. But we're going to dive right into the Super Bowl coverage between the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to do sort of a draft of, we're going to draft basically 22 players each, starters on offense and defense. We'll go back and forth. Really, the point of that exercise will be to sort of determine, you know, who has, which team has more players sort of at the top of the draft, which team has more players at the bottom of the draft. It's sort of like an intro to, I mean, you already know the Eagles roster, but sort of an intro to the Chiefs roster before we really get into the nitty gritty beginning next week. But before we get to all that, I need to know where I can find either the best meat snacks in the land and or where I can do some gambling.
Well, Jimmy, DraftKings Sportsbook obviously is the place you want to go for that, but for the latter. But for the meat snacks that you desire and the meat snacks that we have it, as I think I mentioned this on the mixtape. If I didn't, I'm mentioning it now. We have it on good authority, Jimmy, per source, Righteous Felon Craft Jerky source, that the Eagles are having Righteous Felon Craft Jerky out with them, going with them to Arizona. That's how much they like it. They need it there as they fuel up for the Super Bowl. So the players love it so much, they're going to have it there. You want to go to RighteousFelon.com and use discount code BGN15 for 15% off your order. Also, the same discount code works at WildRangerPet.com if you're looking for 15% off some dog treats. But Jimmy, I also have to tell you about Super Bowl tickets. So I know a lot of people are looking for those, and we want to help you get the cheapest ones on the market. Bleeding Green Nation has recently been working with Ticket IQ, which has zero checkout fees and will save you thousands compared to StubHub. While the list price on sites like StubHub is cheaper, the checkout fees are almost $2,000 per ticket, which is insane. So you can skip all that and go to Ticket IQ. TicketIQ.com now, or download their app on the App Store. Plus, they're offering $300 off Super Bowl orders now with promo code SB300, which you can enter at checkout. These next few days are a prime buying time for Super Bowl tickets, so keep that in mind. And if you need any help figuring out when's the best time to buy, or you just want to find the best deal, you can shoot them a direct message on Twitter or check out their socials. They have a ton of helpful content on those platforms. So check out TicketIQ.com.
As an Eagles beat writer, I am eternally thankful that I have one of the non-perks of this job is access to tickets.
Sure.
In any way. We have no access to tickets. So anytime anyone asks me if I can get them tickets in some way or some like deal or discount or whatever, or just tickets for, you know, full price or whatever, can't help in any way. And thank God, because people are coming out of the woodwork for the Super Bowl. And my response is the same as always. Sorry, No, that's not a perk of the job.
Actually, you get a lot and you just don't want to share it, is what I heard. Like, you get a lot and you're just very selfish and greedy. Jimmy, you'll be going to the Super Bowl, the big game. I will not be going. So that's just,
You went last time.
I went last time. Okay. I am going to cover things from the ground here in Philly. So we'll have that perspective from my end, and then you'll have the perspective of being in Arizona. So we have both angles covered, I feel like, here. But let's get into our big draft. This is your idea, to be clear. This is Jimmy's idea. He's more excited about it than I am. My problem with it, Jimmy, is I take things way too seriously in general. It's something I need to work on in life. And you're very good at not doing that. So you have fun with things, but I just stressed out too much about things, about this activity that doesn't matter. So, let's get it started.
I put my list together in like 15 minutes. So a couple ground rules. First of all, one is we're going to flip a coin, and whoever wins the coin toss gets to choose whether they want to have the first overall pick or the next two picks. And then we'll snake it back and forth the whole rest of the draft. So we'll basically make two picks at a time for each of our turns after the first pick. If the first person drafts a quarterback, the number one overall pick is a quarterback, the other person has to select a quarterback with their first pick. We're going to try to draft the best team that we can on the one hand, but on the other hand, the point of the exercise is to kind of show which team has the better, players. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go strictly off of my big board.
Right.
I'm not going to stray much from that. So if Lane Johnson gets taken, for example,
right.
Actually bad example. If Jordan Mailata gets taken, I'm not going to not take Orlando Brown and wait until like the last round to take him. I'm going to take him wherever I think he is on my list.
We're not trying to maximize game theory here. It's not the point about like winning the game as much as it is.
Right.
Like you said, highlighting the top talents. Like basically this is just a more adding some competition to a way of like ranking the top players in the game regardless of team.
And sort of, having something to say about each player too. More so for the Chiefs, I think, because we already know the Eagles players really well. Also, one other thing, too. I don't know if you have Mecole Hardman on your list, but he's probably not going to play.
Yeah, I'm not including him. Yeah, because he's...
Okay, I don't have him on mine either. Good. All right, we're on the same page. All right, I'm going to flip a coaster because
a coin nearby. I thought I did. Wow.
It's a K coaster for Kemsky. The other side
is... Wow, that's a big coaster, too.
The other side. It's like thick. Yeah, it's for my coffee mug.
Wow. All
right. So you want K or the other side?
I'll call it in the air when you flip it.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah. K.
It's the other side.
Damn. All right. You get the preference of either the first pick or the snake.
I will take Patrick Mahomes.
Wow. What a surprising pick at the top of the draft. Yeah, he's pretty good. Not only is he really good, but he's also like playing the best ever kind of his career in general. Like this season, he's been awesome.
It's going to be the MVP.
The only thing that is obviously worth monitoring is the ankle. He said he didn't have any setbacks with it. It didn't seem to hinder him a ton in the AFC Championship game, although later in the game seemed to kind of like, as the game went on, maybe kind of flared up a bit. He's going to have a couple weeks to rest it. I don't expect it to be a major factor, but if you have the Eagles pass rush, like chasing him around all day, maybe that kind of limits some of the things he can do. Especially again, as the course of the game goes on, maybe that pops up again. I'm not counting on it, but it's like something to watch.
Yeah. The Buccaneers defensive line dominated the Chiefs, very banged up offensive line in the last time that they were in the Super Bowl. I don't know. The Eagles are going to dominate in that way in this game, but I think they do have an advantage there. So he is susceptible to, poor games when he is heavily pressured. So, again, we'll see. But I think he's, very clearly, obviously the best player in this game coming up.
I will take Jalen Hurts because I have to. But also, I believe in Jalen Hurts, which, again, I've come a long way from training camp. But there's something to the fact that he hasn't even had a great game in the playoffs yet that makes me believe he's due. Because I just feel like we're not going to have the season end without Jalen Hurts. And he was good in the Giants game. He started off really strong in that game and kind of made it so he didn't even have to do too much heavy lifting after that. wasn't so great in the 49ers game. Not bad. I would say like a C-plus kind of game, above average, but he made some key plays in both terms of throws and runs, but need him to be better in the Super Bowl because the margin for error, I think, is not going to be what it was previously. And specifically, need to see him have success passing the ball down the field because he's overthrown A.J. Brown in back-to-back weeks now. Mm. I think Shiel Kapati was reading a stat that he's like 3-for-10 on passes of 20 plus in the playoffs. Like the deep passing game has just not been there, and usually that's a strength of his. So really need to see. And then again, he also has 14 days to rest the shoulder. Maybe that makes a difference. I don't know. But I think there's a lot of pressure on him to perform. And I think based on the vibes and the attitude from him, everything we've seen, that I feel good because I feel like he is, I hesitate to use the term refuse to lose because that's what Arrowhead Pride Sweet Pete Sweeney uses for Mahomes. But I think there's some of that. There's some of like, I think he's locked in. I think he's clearly like, hey, because I know he was asked about like his favorite player from the season. Bo Wolf was doing that poll of everyone and he was like, season's not over yet. So I think he's locked in. I think he knows just making it here is not anything. It's about winning it. So I trust in him.
Okay.
So my second pick, my snake pick here, and I'm not going to go into depth with all of these. Obviously, we'll speed through. I just wanted to touch on some of the top players here. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce. I think he's such a weapon. It's hard to he's like a cheat code. Like it's just like you're not going to stop him. And I just think he makes life. He
might be the best tight end ever.
Yeah, I think he's up there with Gronk. I just think he makes things so easy for you. He's going to find a way to get open. He's a monster in the red zone. Going to be a huge threat down there. And I like that combo. I think that's just a nice security blanket to have. He's going to be a big factor in this game. I don't think the Eagles can really like shut him down as much as they can only hope to contain him reasonably so. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they throw at him in terms of who they're going to have cover him. I wonder if it might be like Super Bowl 52 where they kind of experiment because it wasn't like they just put one guy in Gronk. They had like Corey Graham on him. They had Darby on him. I think they had Mills on him at some points. Like they were kind of mixing and matching that. But I'll take Kelce because he's just so good.
All right, I'm going to take Lane Johnson, first of all. There are half the league has good pass rushers that are rushing against right tackles from week to week. Only one team has Lane Johnson. So, like, I'll take Lane Johnson, who, you know, I've been consistent in saying I think he's the best offensive lineman in the NFL, not just right tackle, not just left, not just offensive tackle, best lineman in the NFL. So I'll take him. Even with the injury, I think he's played at an elite level. I think that one is pretty cut and dried. And then the next pick really struggled with who to have higher here, whether it was Hassan Reddick or Chris Jones. Chris Jones, I think, should be the defensive player of the year in the NFL. I think he's definitely better than Nick Bosa. I think Hassan Reddick is better than Nick Bosa. And then who was the third guy in that group for defensive player of the year?
Parsons.
Micah Parsons, of course, yeah. Parsons could get it too, but I think Chris Jones is just such a dominant.
Pretty quiet end to the season. That kind of gets overlooked.
15 and a half sacks for Chris Jones. As an interior defensive lineman, he plays on the edge a little bit when they can, you know, take advantage of mismatches out there, but just such a dominant player. I ultimately decided on Hassan Reddick because dude is hot. Like 9.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles in his last 6 games. If they awarded an MVP for the conference championship games, it would have been him for the NFC championship game. But like not even a debate, it would have been him. And he's just playing at an extremely high level right now. And I don't know that the Chiefs, well, in this particular case, I don't think they have a guy that can block him. Give me Hassan Reddick here.
Yeah, I think the odds on Reddick are probably pretty good. Maybe they've gotten worse because everyone keeps saying this, I feel like. But early on, at least, I felt like Reddick is probably one of the better Super Bowl MVP bets in terms of the value you would get for that bet. Like, you know, if you're going to go on a relative long shot.
What are his odds?
I forget. I didn't check them recently, but I feel like they may have shortened because everyone keeps saying that. And I think.
Yeah.
Also, maybe it's a bad bet because is he going to have like the same kind of, can you just count on it to be a big game again? I mean, it's been great. I'm not going to bet against it, but I'm just saying. And it's also just rare for a defensive player, a non-quarterback really at all, to get it.
Do you know how many have won it? Defensive players?
I forget.
I just wrote it this morning. 9.
Nine.
More than I thought. Last one to do it was Von Miller.
Yes. I mean, it should have been against Aaron Donald last year. Let's be real, but it was not.
Oh, right. Yeah, I went to Cooper Cup, I think.
Yeah, or Cup or Stafford, I guess.
I think I went to Cooper Cup.
And I saw something on ESPN today about a bettor who put $500 on both kickers to win Super Bowl MVP. Because it's like plus 200 each of them. It's never happened. Never had a kicker win Super Bowl MVP. But that's not entirely out of the... It's feasible. Not going to say it's likely. It's feasible. But no kickers in the draft here. So you took Reddick, which I think is a good pick by you. I'm going to take Chris Jones here, obviously. I mean, you just kind of laid out the case. He's been a beast. I had him number four on my board. I actually had him over Reddick. I just think he's...
You did, okay.
Yeah, because I just think, you know, to get that kind of level of pass rush juice from an interior player is just like a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. I think edge rushers, that's great, but... to have that kind of disruption. And you saw Chris Jones and basically end Joe Burrow, you know, any kind of chance of him getting that game to, or winning the game, or yeah, right. Winning the game. Yeah. And late in the game, he just ended the game for them there. And I think he's going to be a big problem for the Eagles to deal with. He took Lane. So I'm going to go with, I need a tackle and the Chiefs tackles are not great. So I'm going to have to take Jordan Mailata. Jordan Mailata, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is like PFF's highest graded offensive lineman. Or tackle, at least in the playoffs, has like allowed one pressure or zero pressures. Like he's wasn't as great in the regular season. Not that he was bad, but like I think he's even stepped it up to a new level in the playoffs here. Mm-hmm. And got to have a left tackle, so I will take Jordan Mailata in addition to Chris Jones.
You're not gonna like this, but my next two picks are AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. Wow. And they just happen to be the next two guys on my big board.
Okay.
AJ Brown, not much needs to be said there. Over 1,400 yards. I forget exactly how many touchdowns, 10 or 11, I think, on the season. Has been kind of quiet in the playoffs. Was sort of unhappy with a lack of targets in the divisional round against the Giants. Wide receivers basically weren't needed against the 49ers once they got a lead and their quarterbacks couldn't throw at all anymore. Devontae Smith obviously had the catch, non-catch, whatever you want to call that, on the first drive of the game. But their importance level became negated to some degree the rest of that game. Not to some degree, completely almost in the second half of that game. They're going to have a big game against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And I think there are matchups that could be had against the Chiefs. Chiefs are starting two rookies at corner. We'll get to that later when we actually pick those guys. But they have two rookies and they have a third year guy in L'Jarius Sneed. So it's for a very experienced team in the Chiefs. They have very inexperienced corners. And these two receivers are far better than anything that the Chiefs have at receiver. But even beyond that, I mean, for that aside, I think that these two players are, you know, just stars, both number one receivers, do it in different ways and, have been awesome all season for the Eagles and a big part of the reason why they're in the Super Bowl.
See, this is why I didn't want to do the draft because I already lost because now I have no receivers and you're also going to get Goddard because I can't take Goddard. So like, I just, this is why.
No, you can, if you want to take Goddard, go right ahead.
But it's dumb though. There's no point to that. Like
if you want to be a two tight end offense, then
I'm not
going to
be a two tight end offense. I screwed up big time. Should have taken not Mailata.
But we already said it's not even game theory.
I know.
Game theory. But when people see these two rosters, they're going to go, Jimmy's is better.
I'm going to go with... See, this is why I didn't want to do this. I can't... The draft is broken. I'm looking at my big board, and I just don't feel... Like the next one I have is Goddard, who's still available, but I don't want to take him.
Take him.
Think, all right, fine. Then you don't have a tight end. I'll just take Dallas Goddard. Jason Kelce, because I will help build up my line. I think Kelce is so, speaking of players who are just like, I said Mahomes earlier, like different in stages of their career, but just players who are great and playing maybe their best season, which is an incredible thing to say considering how good the players are. I think you can say the same thing for Kelce. Jason Kelce, that is. Although Travis is certainly killing it as well. And I'm just editing my team here, which is why I'm stalling. Goddard. Okay. Yeah. So taking Goddard, I think clearly he was not going to be a big factor in the 49ers game. He said that going into the game. It just was
right.
not
as, Warner,
as yeah. opposed to the Giants game where he was primed to go off. Not really the case in the 49ers game. He just basically was just like a dump off guy, which is fine. Just contribute in any way you can. Wasn't going to be relied on to make big plays. Could change a bit here against the Chiefs. I think, you know, he has some matchups he can win, and he'll certainly be more of a factor than he was last week. On your AJ Brown point, by the way, really quick, same thing I said with Hurts, just do. Like, are we really going to go through the playoffs with how good he was in training camp, how good he was in the regular season? Are we really going to go through the entire playoffs without him going off at some point? Like, it just doesn't feel real to me that we would see that.
He's a sneaky MVP candidate, too.
Yeah. Yes. I think he, even in a loss, like, he's going to have a big game, I think. Either way, I think he's going to be put up some big numbers here. It feels like law of averages, like, it has to happen. But I'll take Goddard, and I'll take Jason Kelce to put it to you.
You got both brothers. There you go. I will take Darius Slay. I think he's the best cornerback in this game. I don't think it's as marginal as been kind of perceived between him and James Bradbury had a great year, like, no question, but ultimately I think Darius Slay is the better cover guy.
I don't know.
And I think that shows up. You don't think so?
I mean, I think it's kind of close. You look at Bradbury's numbers, okay. It's pretty impressive. Like, his pass rating when targeted, I think, is better than Slay's. He's also made more plays than Slay, right, in terms of picks?
They have the same number of picks.
Okay. Then no.
Or at least they did during the regular season.
He has more pass breakups, for sure.
Who does, Slay or Bradbury? Well, yeah, he's targeted more.
Sure. But he makes plays on the ball.
So does Slay.
It's been a while. When's his last pick?
And I'll tell you what, I'm gonna do the right thing. You're obviously not gonna take this player, but I'm gonna stick to my board. So, like, we're going against game theory here, but I'm gonna take Creed Humphrey, the Chiefs center. Awesome player. I don't know if I'm sure he made the pro. Actually, the Chiefs' entire left side of the line made the Pro Bowl. So Orlando Brown, the left guard is Joe Tooney.
Tooney, yeah.
And Creed Humphrey, the center, all made the Pro Bowl. Two guys on the right side. Actually, the one guy on the right guard, Trey Smith, could have made the Pro Bowl. And then the right tackle is their weakness. We'll get to him later. But Creed Humphrey, give me him.
Okay.
Begrudgingly, I'll take Creed Humphrey.
I
have the way worse. I have the way worse center in this exercise. Like, I think Kelce is just so far head and shoulders above every other center in the NFL. I don't think it's close. But Creed Humphrey is also very good. So I'll take him.
Well, I'm running some 12 personnel garbage offense anyway. I will take Bradbury. I actually had him one above Slay. So I will take that. I think it's close. I do really think it's close. I know Slay gets the reputation, but I don't know. I like Bradbury a lot. I think he's pretty good. And then I think I just want to keep going in the trenches here. So I will take, I think I'm going to take I'm looking at my board. I'm going to go with a Javon Hargrave.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah. Between him and Chris Jones, a lot of interior pass rush juice there.
Hargrave, all right. Bastard, that hurts.
I got you back.
He was gonna be my next pick.
Sniped you.
Yeah, and so, like, I would have taken him if not for Creed Humphrey. But you know, I was trying to do the right thing. All right. Do you have anything to say about those guys, or should we just move on?
We can move on.
We already talked about Bradbury, but okay. I'm gonna go. Josh Sweat came on this year. I thought, you know, obviously last year he made the Pro Bowl. This year he should have made the Pro Bowl and didn't. But he had closed strongly. I thought he's looked like basically the same player that he was the whole rest of the year when he came back from that scary neck injury, which I think we've kind of forgotten about by now. But
yeah.
That was a very scary moment late in the season. But he came back nicely from that and playing at a high level still. And I will go with... you know, I'm going to go Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Ooh,
here.
Interesting.
Playmaker, and I think he is the best safety in this game. I also think that he's better than anything that the Chiefs have in the slot. Okay. Yeah, I think he, you know, his, the six interceptions kind of speak for themselves, and he's a big play waiting to happen.
I am going to go with looking at my roster, my fake roster here, and decide what I need to fill it out with more. I think I'm going to go. Wait, do I have an edge rusher? I do not. I probably should address that, but you already have Freddie and Sweat. So,
So you're not going to go game theory then? Or you are going to, you're going to,
well, like I have a list, Humphrey, and I'm looking at, like, I'm not like totally jumping around it, but I'm like trying to find where, I mean, I'm not, if I have one person ahead, then I might, I guess I don't, no, I'll wait on that. Okay. I'm going to add, Landon Dickerson. So I want to build up my offensive line. I really want to. So I have Dickerson, Mailata. I like that big left side combo there. And I have Kelsey. So I'm basically just building the Eagles offensive line right here, minus Lane Johnson. And then I still have to fill out cornerback and safety. But I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm just going to pull the trigger on a right guard as well and put Trey Smith. Because I think he's been really good. He was like a big development last year as someone who kind of went underdrafted. Like, he's a pretty good, like a day three pick for the Chiefs. I think he went round five. And
he had a very serious injury.
Yes.
That scared a lot of teams off. And the Chiefs took a chance on him. And he wound up being one of the best guards in the NFL as a rookie. And then he's had a good, not as good maybe in 2020, but still a very good season.
I remember tweeting about Fletcher Cox after that Chiefs game, because he had gone through a stretch where he hadn't been producing. And I remember watching like Brandon Thorne, offensive line guru guy, like tweeting out clips of Trey Smith as a rookie, just like owning Fletcher Cox, just like had it, it was like bullying him. It was like just pushing him around, shoving him around. So I'm going to build up my offensive line, kind of take like the Z-berm approach here and eschew maybe other important things at the cost of just building up my offensive line. So I have Mailata, Dickerson, Kelsey, and Trey Smith.
I'm going to go L'Jarius Sneed.
That's a good pick. I was thinking about him.
Who I think is one of the, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NFL.
Okay.
His stats,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, they're good.
108 tackles by a corner. That's crazy. 3.5 sacks, 3 interceptions. Dude is good. And he also often travels with the opponent's best receiver. I think he's an awesome player and one of the more underrated guys in the league, like I said. And then I'll go with, see, this is a tough call. But I'm gonna give the edge at linebacker to Nick Bolton over TJ Edwards. Give me Nick Bolton, second year player, really good rookie season, really good second season. He has 180 tackles this season, which if you play for the Eagles, that would be a team record. A couple sacks, I think, thrown in there too. Decent number of PBUs, pass breakups. Nick Bolton, a really good young player, and I'll take him here.
L'Jarius Sneed, only 84.2 pass rating when targeted this year. He also only has a 4.4 missed tackle percentage. That's really low. He's missed 5 tackles. He's made 108. Like, that's such a low missed tackle percentage. Really good tackler. 3.5 sacks as well. I don't know if you mentioned that. So they use him. They use him to blitz sometimes. And even his previous years, 91.9 passer rating last year. And then as a rookie, 54.2. Like, he is a really good corner. I was trying to get him later on. Not too much later on. Probably would have taken him this round.
You're not sneaking Sneed by me, buddy.
Should mention, he is dealing with a concussion. You know, still plenty of time for him to get cleared before the Super Bowl, but he'll have to get cleared because he's not practicing at the time. So we'll keep an eye on that one. I'm going to go with...
If he can't go, they're screwed.
Yeah,
that's
a big deal.
That is an extremely important player for him because, like I said, they're starting 2 rookies otherwise, and their depth isn't good. They're in big trouble if he can't play. He only played 4 snaps, I think, against the Bengals. And somehow they were not able to take advantage of that. It was to the degree that they should have.
I'm going to go with Justin Reed, safety. I've always liked him. He was always a guy that I like wanted the Eagles to sign. Thought he'd be a good.
The Eagles have always liked him.
Yeah. So I got my safety there. You know, a guy, he can kind of do it all. I feel like he's a coverage guy, but not afraid to mix it up. Really liked him a lot. Where's my roster that I'm trying to fill out? Here it is. And then
I'll talk on Reed real quick. So the Eagles brought him in for a pre-draft visit back when he came out of college. Where did he go again?
Stanford? No.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Doesn't matter. And then they were interested in signing him Stanford. As a free agent this past offseason, but the Chiefs paid him a little more than the Eagles were willing to. The Eagles also whiffed. Now, I don't want to say whiffed, but the Saints paid Marcus Williams an absurd amount of money. The Eagles were in on him too. And then they wound up getting the best of the three by trading for, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They wound up getting a better player basically for, you know, a late three. So they wound up with and on a cheap deal, obviously still his rookie deal. So they wound up getting, you know, it was a happy error not being able to get either Reed or Marcus Williams.
And then I will go with Juju because I don't have any wide receivers. And I think Juju's kind of got underrated. Like I was saying that back in the offseason because, you know, he played in this garbage Steelers offense where Big Ben couldn't throw the ball more than like 5 yards down the field. But I mean, he would have had 1,000 yards if he didn't get banged up in midseason with the Chiefs. He had 933. You know, is he a superstar? No, but I think he's an effective receiver and certainly someone who can do damage from the slot. Can also play outside, I think, if you really need to. So I need a receiver. And he's had some big games this year. He had a game against the Bills with 5 for 113 against the 49ers for 124 and a touchdown. So like he's capable of having a big game, especially on this Chiefs team. Hasn't been as productive down the stretch. Looking at his games here to end the season, like 27, 21, 35, 29, and 7 yards. So it hasn't really been a big factor for them as much recently. But I think he's capable of going off. And I need a receiver, so I'll take him.
I was surprised to see he had 78 for 933 this year. So, yeah, he was more productive. He was actually their most productive receiver, I think, in 2022. They have not replaced Tyreek Hill, and what he can do, they've kind of done it by a committee, and obviously Travis Kelce too, different kind of season for different kind of weapons this season for Patrick Mahomes. I'm gonna go with basically the left side of the Chiefs offensive line. I'll take Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney.
Yeah.
Again, like I mentioned earlier, both of them are in the Pro Bowl. Tooney was a longtime player for the Patriots. Brown is just an enormous human being at like 6'8", 345 or 350 or something like that. So you're not going to bull rush him. Like same thing with Jordan Mailata. Like you're not going to run him over ever. But I think he is a little bit susceptible to speed.
Yeah.
Josh Sweat, like we mentioned in, you know, prior to the 49ers game, you know, anything that he could get against Trent Williams was gravy. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case in this game. I think they'll look for him to get pressure against Orlando Brown. But Brown certainly, you know, not a top tier offensive tackle, but maybe just a tier right below that. And again, he is in the Pro Bowl this year.
Speaking of before the 49ers game, how about Jonathan Gannon with the "we're going to effing gut these guys"? Why didn't he put that video out like that sooner? Why didn't he go viral? I mean, everyone loves him now.
That's right.
He would have avoided a lot of ire. Maybe gotten a head coaching job.
Bigger than Jim Johnson now.
Yeah, and that was great. I was shocked. I mean, not shocked in that, like, you know, he seems like a relatively fiery guy. Not as much as Sirianni, but, you know, he has some passion. I've seen him, you know, get fired up in practice. But how about that? That's pretty cool. You know, it's...
Yeah,
chopping it up with the fans on the way into the stadium, driving in, and like he was juiced. He was legitimately juiced. It wasn't like fake or forced. Like he was fired up. So
right,
very much big test ahead for him with Patrick Mahomes, and considering what the Eagles have done this year or not done really when they face teams with good quarterbacks, especially, you know, like above average quarterbacks, at least in Dak and Aaron Rodgers, who was hurt but still, you know, a good game against the Eagles before he ended up getting hurt. So certainly a really big test against Mahomes. But do I feel better about Jonathan Gannon's outlook in the Super Bowl after that clip? Yeah, hell yeah, I do. Of course.
Yeah.
He's going to rise to the challenge. He's not afraid. And the fact that he's only allowed 14 points through two playoff games is pretty good as well. Okay, So it's my turn, and well, let's take a break here, actually, because we're about 30 minutes in, and we can take a moment to regather here. Before we do, Right to Sellin' Craft Jerky, righttosellin.com, discount code BGN15 for 15% off your order. Do it. Go there. Look, the big game, Jimmy, is coming up. You know the one. The big game.
I know the big game.
You know the big game.
That's right.
What better way to enjoy the big game than with some high quality meat snacks to snack on? Hey, you could bring them to the big game party that you're going to if you wanted to. You know, you go into a party, like, hey, check these things out. They're pretty good. And you can spread the good word yourself by saying, hey, go to righttosellin.com, use discount code BGN15 for 15% off these delicious meat snacks that, you know, you can have as part of your football watching experience. And then when the Eagles win the Super Bowl, you're going to want to celebrate. And what better way than to just, you know, gorge on some meat snacks. So do it.
By the way, Brandon was a kid at the top of the episode. The Eagles ordered a bunch of Righteous. They had it sent to their hotel in Arizona. Like, that's not, he wasn't kidding. Like, they ordered apparently a buttload of Righteous Felon.
They actually eat it.
And had it sent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So check it out. All right.
Back after this.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back here on BGN Radio, it's my turn in the draft, Jimmy. So I'm going to go, as I look at the roster here and the big board and see who's taken. You took Thuney and Orlando Brown. So my turn is up, and I still need some things. A lot of stuff on defense. I'm going to take my favorite player on the Eagles, Brandon Graham. I think, even though he's not technically a starter, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I have backups on my list.
Yeah,
too.
It doesn't really matter because I think he could play. And I think we're in this hypothetical situation. We're talking about a game too, right? Like, because there's one game left in the season anyway. We're not talking about a whole
season.
He's
better than one of the Chiefs starters. In like George Karlaftis is their starting defensive end opposite Frank Clark. He's better than George Karlaftis.
In this hypothetical, we're asking them to like play one game, right? We're not like, this is a roster.
Yes.
We're not like building a whole season.
It's the Super Bowl.
So this is like your Super Bowl.
That's exactly what we're looking at is one game.
So he can handle a workload for one game. And I think Brandon Graham could come up big again in this game. If you want to talk about a guy who could be, if you're looking for like long shot MVP odds, I mean, I think he has some of the, because he was such a hero, although he didn't win in the last one and he made that play. If he does something like that again, I think he would kind of get like that extra maybe push or narrative or credit. Or even some of like, hey, this guy really could have been comeback player of the year and we didn't give him that. So like, why don't we try to like make up for that a little bit here?
Might win man of the year.
Right.
Like a couple days before the Super Bowl. So people be like, oh, that guy's, he's a good guy too. Yep. All right, let's give it to him.
So as a long shot guy, and if he makes a big play in a big spot and there's no other obvious candidate, I think he could kind of be underrated. And I love Brandon Graham, so happy to have him on my team. Also, just great for the vibes. And then I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Juan Thornhill, the other Chiefs safety, as my safety. A guy who typically makes plays, always is showing up in the stat sheet with interceptions and such. Yeah.
Another pre-draft visit guy for the Eagles back in the day out of Virginia.
They showed a lot of interest in him. Did not end up taking him, of course, but a lot of interest in him. Has had three interceptions this year. Also has a sack, four TFLs, nine passes defense. So, you know, a guy who makes some plays on the ball and has not missed a game. So I'll take it.
All right. I'm going to go Isaac Seumalo. And my offensive line is now complete. So my offensive line is Orlando Brown, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey. So I got the three. I got the three Chiefs.
Yeah.
Pro Bowlers, Isaac and Lean. And then tough decision here. I'm gonna go Avante Maddox in the slot.
Yeah, and
I don't think his importance is going to be very high in this particular game because, first of all, I think one of the early under-discussed stories at the Super Bowl is how banged up the Chiefs receivers are. They're not going to have Mecole Hardman, as we mentioned earlier. Juju's banged up. And then Kadarius Toney is banged up as well.
He's two different
injuries. Marquez Valdes-Scantling and the rookie, their second-round pick, Sky Moore, who hasn't played a ton this year. I think he had like 300 or so receiving yards somewhere in that ballpark during the regular season. They played most of that game against the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. I don't know how much the Chiefs are going to do. Like, I don't know, like, who is going to be operating. I guess Juju could be operating out of the slot. Like, who? I guess he is their best receiver, and he could be operating on the slot. So maybe that does make – maybe I'm changing my mind here. That, like, Avante Maddox actually might be an important player in this game. On the spot, changing my mind. Well, I got to think about that now.
Could potentially see, in theory, you could have – Maddox against Kelsey at times, not like the whole game, but in times, like, I don't know. I know he's giving up the size, but if you're worried about him.
Yeah, it's a big size mismatch.
If you're worried about the speed, though, and just worried about him getting open, I don't know.
Yeah. CJ GJ would be maybe when they go man, anyway, sure. Would be probably the most logical matchup, I think, against Kelsey. But there could be times where, you know, Kelsey wanders into Maddox's zone. But yeah, Maddox, obviously a very good player, one of the best slot corners in the NFL, in my opinion. So I think he's a pretty safe choice.
Okay. He was kind of limited in his first game back. I think he might be, you know, the extra, these 2 weeks here.
They didn't need him.
Yeah, they didn't
Their quarterbacks couldn't throw.
But I do think he wasn't 100%. Like, he was limited in practice leading up to the game.
That's fair.
I do think the extra time off could really help him, especially because he was not too far removed from getting out of that boot. I am looking at a PFF grade here for a second. Ooh, tough. I'm going to go with, I need another receiver because I may have one currently in this garbage 12 personnel offense. I'll take MVS. he came up big for the Chiefs here in the AFC Championship game. I thought he's always been like a decent enough player, not a great player, but like, you know, kind of decent. Played on the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, so that certainly helps. And playing with Mahomes also helps, I'm sure. Not so impressive on a team with where the quarterback isn't so good, but just went off for six for 116 and touchdown in the AFC Championship game. Had a big game earlier this year against the 49ers, three for 11. Capable of having a big game, bigger guy, 6'4", 206 pounds, can make some plays down the field, has that vertical threat element, especially valuable for the Chiefs right now. For looking at the real game, because as you mentioned, Mecole Hardman not going to be available for this game. I think most people know that he's a fast dude, but he's actually like, I was looking at his 40 time. He's a 4.33 guy, which is for perspective. Quez is 4.35, so you know, like an even faster version of Quez, and can do things for them in the punt return game as well. Hardman when he's healthy, which he is not. So I'll take MVS here, and then I will also. Take looking at my roster. Kind of want to do this because I think he's not the best representative of character.
I know where you're going with this.
But I will take Frank Clark. Frank Clark. Rusher. I also think he's incredibly overrated relative to his contract. Like,
Okay.
His deal, but I need another edge rusher, so I kind of have to do it.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go TJ Edwards. Round out my linebackers, Nick Bolton, TJ Edwards. And then I'm going to go Fletcher Cox.
All right. Who is your other defense? Or do you have another defensive tackle or just the one?
I don't have one yet. He's my first defensive tackle.
Yeah. Fletcher Cox probably.
Yeah, we don't need this. Not much needs to be said about those two.
Probably his last game with the Eagles, right? You would think this time or no?
I thought that was the case last year though, too. And then he was back. So we'll see. I mean, I think two interesting franchise tag candidates are CJGJ at safety and Javon Hargrave at defensive tackle. If Hargrave leaves, if they don't want to, the tag number is high for defensive tackle. It's like 18 or 19 or something like that. For safety, it's like 14.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have trouble fitting anyone in with the tag anyway, with their salary cap situation. I guess in theory, they could tag someone and then, but they'd actually have to sign before they could turn that contract, like, you know, convert it into like a bonus and kick it in the future years. They can't do that until the player actually signs the franchise tag deal. And most of them don't until they absolutely have to. So I don't know if they're going to tag anyone. They might lose Hargrave in free agency if somebody comes in with some crazy offer. And then at that point, you know, maybe they bring Fletch back again. So who knows?
It's time.
I know that you're not high on it, but you know that's what they like their own players.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I'm saying it should be. All right.
I can see a scenario where he's back next year.
I am going to go with you've. You took Slay, right?
I did.
And Maddox.
And Legarius.
Well, what the heck? What do I even have left to pick from? Well, I guess I'll take Trent McDuffie for the slot.
Yeah.
Another guy who a lot of people thought the Eagles might take him. Last year, like that was like a popular mock option.
That was always a dumb idea.
Yeah, I didn't love that bet for them. That like the profile in terms of smaller slot guy
turned out to be a pretty good year. Yeah, he turned out to be a pretty good player this year.
His rookie resources. It wasn't about
that never
him,
made sense for the Eagles.
I think being an awful player, as much as the premium resource on that kind of profile was not really what you wanted to bet on. So I'll take him because I need a slot defender. I'm looking at his numbers here. He has not yet had an interception. He had 5 passes defense, 1 forced fumble. He had only an 86.5 pass rating when targeted, and he only missed 2 tackles. So, okay, you know, some decent numbers here. I'll take him in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he actually plays both. So I think he plays on the outside, and then he moves into the slot when they go nickel.
And then I'll take a Kaiser White. You didn't take him, right?
I did not.
He had a good game in the NFC Championship game. He was flying around. He's made some really good tackles, I thought. So he's kind of been erratic. He's struggled at times, but he's coming off a good game. It's a big moment for a player like him in a mold of he's going to be a free agent. He's out here on this one-year deal. He's trying to get you know, a multi-year deal at this point next this coming off season. So this is like a really big spot for him to show up and show out. So I'll take you guys your way.
All right. I'm going to go Miles Sanders. And I'm really tempted by Isaiah Pacheco because that dude is good.
Yeah.
Have you watched him play?
I have.
That guy runs hard. I think that guy would be awesome on the Eagles. But I'll take Miles. and I'll take Kadarius Toney for my slot receiver.
Okay.
Who, interesting personality. Mm. Don't know a whole lot about what turns him off to, you know, to the Giants, I guess specifically, but they were willing to just get rid of him for very little. And, he's made some plays for the Chiefs this year, but he has a big play waiting to happen. And, from the Eagles perspective, you hope it just doesn't happen against them.
I like Pacheco. He's at 4.9 yards per attempt. He runs hard, does fumble a little bit. He has 4 fumbles on about 90 fewer carries than Miles Sanders has. Miles Sanders has 2.
Okay.
So that's something to watch out for. Not like
it's a good nugget.
Yeah. Not a not like a huge necessarily like fumbling all the time, fumbling machine, but he is, you know, he's younger too. So it's prone to maybe happen to him, but I'll take him to fill out most of my offense. And then I will also take, see, I have a cornerback spot. What spots do you have open? I still have right tackle, linebacker, and cornerback.
I got tight end, DT, and safety.
Okay. I'm going to go with Willie Gay, baby. Give me Willie Gay.
Willie Gay is good. Willie Gay can play.
He's banged up, but yeah, I think he is the Chiefs' best linebacker. Bolton's very controversial from what I'm gathered from Chiefs fans. Like, they're really split on him. Okay. Some people think he's good. Some people think he sucks. He's overrated. So
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'll take a Willie Gay who is limited or has been like limited in practice, but he should be ready for the big game.
And then was that your second pick?
Yeah, because I took, wasn't it? Who did I take before that? Because I took Pacheco. Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to make my last three picks. I'm going to take Milton Williams as my other defensive tackle. I like him better than Derek Nanati.
Sure.
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then I guess I'll take Marcus Epps. And then
I like Epsy. I think it's a good value pick.
And then you're not going to take a tight end, obviously, at this point. So I'm just going to take Jack Stoll for my final guy. I don't even know who the Chiefs backup tight end is, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I know that
I'll just get a guy who can block a little bit.
Their second leading
Noah Gray, is that
yeah
that
Noah Gray is okay. There he has 28 catches this year for almost 300 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, it's not bad for a backup tight end.
Yeah, you can take him over Stoll if you want.
I'm going Jack Stoll. Okay. I'll take the guy that I know is
the devil you know over the devil you don't.
That's right.
I am at a spot where I need to fill out right tackle. So I guess I have to take, do I want to take, I guess I'll take the Chiefs starter. I'll take Andrew Wiley over Jack Driscoll. I'm not going to take Andre Dillard to put him at the right tackle. I'm definitely not going to do that.
No,
but, I was looking up Andrew Wiley's PFF grade earlier. Cause let's be honest, I don't think many of us have watched him play specifically. But he ranks 46 out of 57 tackles. Okay. So not good.
On my list to do today is to watch some Andrew Wiley.
Well, I think you're going to find some things that aren't great because he's not been good. Where does he grade out strongly? He grades out, he's just an average overall around player, not particularly strong or weak, or not particularly weak, I should say, against like run blocking or pass blocking. But I need a right tackle. And I don't think I can really get around putting anyone else there based on what's available on the.
How many sacks did they say that he gave up this year?
He gave up. I just have to sort through the tackle or the table here. 9. He gave up 9 sacks. So not good because only 1, 2, 3 players allowed more in the NFL.
Yikes!
Those players were Jonah Williams, Dennis Daly, and Abraham Lucas. So yeah, not good, and certainly
they the Eagles ate up poor Dennis Daly.
Yes,
in the Titans game.
Well, yes, who you know Hassan Reddick is going to be working against this guy.
yeah,
that's definitely not great. Although I'm really kind of relying here on my extra tight ends, I mean like Goddard, and so I'm going to put Goddard on that side a lot and have him help out Mr. Wiley there. Uh-huh. So there we go. And I don't have to worry about not sending him out as much because Travis Kelce do that. So there we go. And then that leaves me with one cornerback. And I guess the only person I can really reasonably take is the Chiefs' other starter, right? Jalen Watson. Like, I mean, who else am I going to put there?
Rookie 7th-round pick. He's another guy that I don't know anything about. I gotta watch him a little bit. But rookie 7th-round pick, I think he played like 600-700 snaps, something like that. But he comes in nickel. So, like I said before, McDuffie plays on the outside. I think I have this right anyway. Plays on the outside, and then in nickel, McDuffie moves into the slot, and then Jalen Watson comes in and plays on the outside.
Watson is a 103.9 pass rating when targeted, so not great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's my roster.
All right.
So you want to recap them?
See, that didn't take that long. Where were we at? You thought that was going to take a couple hours.
I was afraid it was going to take 51, multiple hours.
We're at 51 minutes.
My roster is...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll read my offense, and then you read your offense, and then I'll read my defense. You can read your defense. My offense is Jalen Hurts with Isaiah Pacheco, MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, and Dallas Goedert. And then an offensive line of Mailata, Dickerson, Kelce, Trey Smith, and Andrew Wiley.
All right. I got Patrick Mahomes, Miles Sanders. Advantage. Receivers are A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Kadarius Toney. My tight end is Jack Stoll. And then my line from left to right is Orlando Brown, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Isaac Seumalo, and Lane Johnson.
Yeah, I like yours better, although
I think I have the better offense.
The hole at tight end is not great, but you don't really need it as much with the
receiving core. I don't know. He's just going to block it.
And
I don't even need him to block because my whole line is stacked.
I feel good about my line, other than right tackle. But yeah,
yeah. I mean, the Eagles have the best offensive line in the NFL, and the Chiefs are, I think, very clearly at minimum top 10.
Mm-hmm. And okay. Then my defense is Brent.
Oh, so did I say top 10? I meant top 5. Yeah. Minimum.
They're
top,
top
32
top offensive three. Line. Brandon Graham, Frank Clark are my edge rushers. On the inside, I have Chris Jones and Javon Hargrave. I feel really good. Like that's a
tough nightmare front. Duo. Yeah.
And then Willie Gay and Kaiser White. My linebackers, I think, are okay. They're fine. And then cornerbacks are not amazing, but I have Bradbury, Jalen Watson, McDuffie in the slot, and then at safety, I like my safeties, which are the Chiefs safeties, which is Justin Reed and Juan Thornhill.
And I have Reddick and Sweat on the edges. I like those two guys. Big disadvantage compared to you at defensive tackle with Fletcher Cox and Milton Williams. By the way, I think Milton Williams would start on most NFL teams, by the way. He's just playing behind Javon Hargrave and Fletcher Cox, but back up for now. Linebackers are Nick Bolton, TJ Edwards. Corners are good. Slay, Sneed, Maddox.
Yeah.
And then my safeties are CJ, GJ, and Marcus Epps.
Yeah, I lost this activity. It's very clear. I don't need anyone to tell me that I lost because I get it. I didn't know. This is Jimmy's activity, so.
I think your defense is a little better. I mean, that front is tough. And then, but my offense is clearly a lot better.
I should have taken I shouldn't have taken my Lotta, and I should have taken, it would have changed everything. Would have changed the whole landscape if I just got either Devontae or AJ. But all right. That's it. Those are our teams that are going to be playing in the Super Bowl. Not the actual teams.
I think most of the players at the top wound up being. So I don't know what your big board looks like, but looking at my big board, I have one Chief, three. I have three Chiefs in my top 10. I have seven Eagles. My three Chiefs were Mahomes, Kelce, of course, and Chris Jones. And then the Eagles, I had Hurts, Lane Johnson, Hassan Reddick, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jason Kelce, Darius Slay were all in my top 10. You obviously have Slay a little lower than I do.
Is it crazy that I would have three Chiefs in my top four?
No, because it's Kelce, Chris Jones, and Patrick Mahomes.
So
no, they're all outstanding players. So
that's the interesting thing. It's like, I think if you're asking how many Chiefs players, I think the more interesting question here is like how many Chiefs players start on the Eagles and.
Okay.
That's been asked a lot. Dave Mangles addressed that in his mailbag for Bleeding Green Nation this week. Someone asked that.
Okay.
And, you know, you go Mahomes, right? You go Kelce over Goddard. You go Chris Jones over Cox, right?
Take your pick.
Whatever. Yeah, either way, but probably Cox. And then after that, I mean, I guess you could do you want to take, like, Justin Reed or one of those over Marcus Epps?
I would take either of them over Marcus Epps.
And then what else?
I think there's a debate between Orlando Brown and Jordan
Mailata. I don't think so.
I would take Mailata long term. I would rather have him on my roster. But for one game, it's close.
I could have gotten tricky and played. I should have made a better play for Brown and moved him back over to right tackle because he could do that.
The point that you make that Mailata has played very well lately, I think, holds some water. I would take... Yeah, there's not that
no one on the offensive line. I mean, other than
I really like Nick Bolton. It's interesting that their fans are divided on him. I would certainly take him over Kaiser White. I would take Willie Gay over Kaiser White too.
Okay, so both linebackers.
Yeah, there's not that many. There's not that many players I would take on the Chiefs. That there's not that many Chiefs players that I would start on the Eagles. And then I think of running back, depending on what you like and how like you project them onto the other team. Mm-hmm. I think it's a debate between Pacheco and Sanders. I didn't know about the fumbles. That's concerning. Yeah. Trey Smith versus Isaac Seumalo was close. I'd probably take Trey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Eagles are a better team. I think the Eagles are the better team in the Super Bowl matchup. And there's a reason they're favored. And there's also a reason why they're not favored by more. It's because the Chiefs are there every year and everyone knows they're good. I was actually almost kind of surprised that the Chiefs or the Eagles were immediately favorites. I thought it might swing there eventually. But yeah, they're a better team. Probably should be favored by like 3.
Would you rather have Andy or Nick Sirianni to coach your team?
So I think Andy is the better game planner.
Right.
And the better offense designer. I mean, he's a legend on both of those things. But I think Nick is the better in-game coach. And actually, the thing that surprised me, you know, the Chiefs went for it on fourth down 12 times this year, which was the second lowest in the NFL. Maybe they just didn't have a lot of reasonable situations where they, you know, would go for it.
Or situations in general.
The Eagles went for it 32 mm-hmm. times, though. And the Eagles had every bit as many big leads as the Chiefs. They converted 22 of those, by the way. But to almost kind of triple them up on fourth down conversions attempted, I think there's enough evidence there to suggest that Nick Sirianni is the more aggressive head coach in this matchup.
So who would you?
And I don't think of Andy as being not aggressive. Like, I don't think of him as being like a Kyle Shanahan type, like a coward. But I don't think of him in that way at all. But so that's why it was interesting that there's only one team that like went for it less than them on fourth down. But yeah, I think overall I'd probably take Andy just because, I mean, dude is a Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. like one of the best coaches ever type of coach. And Nick, you know, I think Nick would sign up for Andy Reid's career in a heartbeat. Sure. I'd take Andy, but I don't think it's a huge gap. I think Nick Sirianni is legit. And, should we talk about Julian Love, by the way? Julian Love.
More like Julian Hate.
Good morning. Good morning. Football. Was it, I think, where he mm-hmm. said that Nick Sirianni is just along for the ride.
Free ride.
I think he's called it a quote unquote free ride, but essentially meant along for the ride on a great Eagles team that he's doing nothing to further their chances. And it's all about the players, which, you know, certainly the players are great. But yeah, that was sort of interesting. And I actually asked a bunch of players about that. I'll have like a story on that soon, but they were like, a lot of them were kind of laughing at Julian Love. They're like, what do you care about the coach for? You're like, he's not even playing. Why would he bother you on the other sideline? Yeah. That's crazy.
Also, is he saying his teammates suck? Is that the reason why they lost 38-7? It's not, it wasn't about the coaching. It was just that your teammates are garbage. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
I mean, yeah. It's not.
Very strange comments.
Yeah.
You probably didn't think it through.
A lot of that stuff is working in the Eagles' favor to me in terms of the vibes, because there was a lot of that going on with the 49ers. I'm not seeing a lot of, I think I said that going up to the game. So many weird, like aggressive, like, oh, Eagles are not that good, or Jordan Mailata sucks, or like weird stuff coming out from the 49ers media and fans leading up to the mm-hmm. championship game, and a lot of whiny stuff coming out after it.
The San Francisco 40 Winers.
Yeah, San Francisco 40 Winers. And I'm not seeing that with the Chiefs, to be clear, but I'm seeing a lot of like Eagles haters with this, oh, the schedule was so easy, and oh, No one's getting credit.
Their path to the Super Bowl was easy, and they beat Daniel Jones and the Giants, and then they beat a fourth string quarterback or whatever. Yeah, guess what? They got the one seed. It's supposed to be easier than the rest of the teams.
They earned the right to have an easy
path.
That's the
reason you try so hard to get the one seed.
Also, like,
jackasses.
The NFC wasn't that good. We all said that. Who were they supposed to play? Like, who's the team in the NFC that was so great that they could have played?
There was the Niners.
Right. I mean, there was no one else. And Brock Purdy got hurt. Yeah, because they knocked him out of the game. It wasn't like...
Right, because they couldn't block their defensive line.
Oh, because they decided to not be smart with it too and put a backup tight end against Hassan Reddick. It wasn't like Brock Purdy like tripped in pregame warmups and like, you know, broke his leg somehow and like it was extremely fortuitous. No, like they knocked him out of the game and they knocked Josh Johnson out of the game. And when you have a pass rush that leads the league in sacks and is really physical, then that's a byproduct of that. And but I don't want to hear excuses made if they beat Andy, and I don't think there will be, but that's the thing. Like, if you beat Andy and Mahomes, then you can't say like easy path or whatever. You beat, you know, the greatest.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, this is as legit an opponent as you can possibly ask for. I mean, this team is, if the Chiefs win this Super Bowl, they're going to be talked about it like as a dynasty. Yeah. They've been to the last five AFC championship games.
Pete said that. And Pete Sweeney won, from Arrowhead they've won Pride, three of them. Use the term dynasty if they win. Yeah.
As he should. Yeah. And they'll only have two Super Bowl wins at that point if they beat the Eagles. But I mean, this team is as legit as they come in today's NFL. Like they're like the alpha dog of the NFL right now. It's the Chiefs. So if they beat the Chiefs, then the Eagles will have beaten the alpha dog in each of their last two Super Bowls. Cause certainly the Patriots were that when they beat them as well.
It is kind of funny. I pointed this out in the mixtape. All the people saying the Eagles haven't beaten anyone. Like, who have the Chiefs beaten? Like, what's their like signature win? I mean, you could say the Bengals.
The Bengals.
Okay, yeah. But they also lost to them earlier.
They lost to the Bills, right?
They did lose to the Bills.
Jaguars. The
Eagles beat them.
They beat the Jaguars in the divisional round. So did the Eagles in what, week three four. Or four, or whatever it was.
The point is, the Chiefs don't have this amazing resume. If you want to say the Bengals, that's one game. So you're making this argument based on one game, like that's your whole argument. So yeah, I think that's silly.
Don't take that as like a slight to the Chiefs in any way. No. You play who's on your schedule, but also like there are only 12 teams or 11 or 12. I forget exactly 13 maybe teams that had a winning record in the NFL. So like I think Washington was
they were 500
8-8-1, and then all the rest had losing records. So. I mean, there's only a small handful. And some of the teams that, you know, had winning records were including like the Giants in like that equation, the Jaguars. Who else made the playoffs that, you know, was the Vikings suck. You know, they wound up with a great record, but they sucked. So like there's only a really small handful of teams that you can that, you know, the general populace would consider, oh, that's a great win.
I agree.
And if they're not, those teams aren't on your schedule, then what are you going to do? Well, by the way, the Chiefs. I feel like are very uncompelling villain. Like it's hard to villainize that team because they're pretty likable. It's a pretty likable team. I think Eagles fans for the most part like Andy Reid. The Kelce brother thing is a uniting team thing, uniting kind of thing for these two teams, you know, if they weren't playing against each other in the Super Bowl. So kind of a boring storyline from that perspective, whereas the last time the Patriots were an extraordinarily hateable team for the cheating. They, you know, probably cheated against the Eagles in the Super Bowl in 2004. Obviously, you know, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, all the cast of characters that were very hateable, Matt Patricia, right on down the line. So it's a little bit different this time around in that the Chiefs aren't, you have to find ways to hate the Chiefs as opposed to them being very obvious.
That's part of my thing with like championship weekend feeling special and better because there's just more potential for like rivalry like there was with the Chiefs for the Bengals.
Yeah.
And just like the idea, you know, it's weird when you're playing a team from a different conference that you typically don't see except for one every 4 years or so. There's just not a lot of built-in juice to that. It's the biggest game of the year, but like the actual rivalry or whatever angle, it's not really there so much in general. And I don't think there's any like, oh, we got to stick it to the Chiefs. I mean, obviously Eagles fans want to win, but right. It's not like they're taking joy so much in the Chiefs losing.
It's not like other sports where like in the NBA back in the day, the Celtics and the Lakers were thought of as like a huge rivalry and in opposing conferences, obviously. And you can probably come up with examples like that in baseball and hockey as well. I don't know hockey as much, but yeah, it's
maybe
it's hard to manufacture these rivalries. But I think you kind of could with the Eagles and Patriots having faced each other in the Super Bowl. Eagles bitter that they probably cheated again in that Super Bowl, and they hadn't really, you know, bested Brady in any sort of big game.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe if the Eagles and Chiefs continue on these runs where, you know, the Chiefs have Mahomes and Reed and they're just going to keep chugging along, and maybe it's very premature to say it, but maybe this is the beginning of something great for the Eagles in terms of a great era where Sirianni's here and Hurts is, you know, like this kind of, you know, real deal player, every like MVP-esque kind of candidate every single season. And maybe this is the beginning of that, and maybe they face off a couple more times in Super Bowls or whatever down the road. So, you know, that's possible. I'm not counting on that. I don't think it's likely, but it's a possible scenario. I will say there is something to the Eagles not having beat Andy yet that would be satisfying, because they haven't done that going back to 2013 when he came into the link in like week three or whatever it was against Chip. They lost that game on Thursday Night Football. They lost during the Super Bowl year when they went to KC in week two.
Right, yeah.
And that was a good game. It was actually really, really entertaining, good game.
Kareem Hunt had a big game in that game, I believe. Yeah. Lane Johnson had his worst game as a pro in the 2013 game.
Oh, yeah, against
Justin Houston. Destroyed him in that game. It's actually, I'll retell that real quick, but he was on Chris Long's podcast, and they were talking about, I guess Chris Long asked him about his worst game, and Lane Johnson said it was that Justin Houston wrecked him in that game. And he's like, I get back into the locker room, and sure enough, there's Les Bowen, and he does like a perfect Les Bowen impression about how he's like kind of shaking his head while he's asking the question. He goes, "So Lane, had a rough night there, huh?"
It wasn't even like a question. It was just like a statement.
It wasn't a question. Yeah. It was a comment.
So you got destroyed by Justin Houston.
Yeah, that's Lester T. So it's the comment, and then you're sort of asked to comment on his comment.
And then there was the game from last
year. Love Les. Yes, of course. As we're not making fun of
Les. No, yeah, it's a great story. Then there was the game last year where it was earlier in the year, kind of before the Eagles had found their footing in a lot of ways. Hurts had a good game numbers-wise. There's some garbage time in there. It was kind of, I was looking back at the game, a lot of scoring in that game. Eagles ultimately kind of like couldn't hang on, and certainly roster's a lot different now. Well, for both teams, there's, you know, a lot of key differences. I think I'm going to go back and do a post on that in terms of what's different since the last time they played. I mean, no Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
That still doesn't matter in terms of Mahomes is still great, but you know, it's a player that you ideally don't want to have to deal with.
Well, he had a big game.
Yeah.
He made big plays in that game. He
broke the game open kind of at the end, like really kind of sealed the deal. He had that deep touchdown.
That was when Nick Sirianni was really struggling. Yes. Remember when he went to Dallas and he thought that the way to play Dallas, who had a high octane offense at the time, not so much now, but they did then. And he felt like the only way to beat them was to get into a shootout with them. And then this game happened to be right after that.
Okay.
And I think he kind of carried that philosophy into this game as well. And they just lost. They lost a shootout. That's basically what happened. Because of course they did. You're not going to outscore the Chiefs. Why try?
Yeah, I think same.
Why go into it with the mentality that this is going to be a high scoring game, instead of, you know, doing what a lot of teams try to do the Eagles this year, like Washington, for example, where they tried to slow the game down, rely on their running attack, you know, convert short third downs, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe get a turnover here. That's the way they should have played the Chiefs in that game. But they tried to, you know, match them big play for big play.
Sanders only had 7 carries in that game for 13 yards, too. They kind of shut him down.
Oh, did he? Right.
Hurts had some success on the ground. But there is something to beating Andy. And especially, imagine if it happened in a situation where Andy messed up at the end of the game. And because then it would, I know there's the whole, like, Andy's finally going to get the Eagles a Super Bowl. If he messes at the end of the game, up at the end of the game in a key spot, he might screw it up. And like now the Eagles win the Super Bowl because of that. That would be very kind of, it's not
poetic justice.
It would be, it's not something to necessarily,
that's the wrong phrase too.
Well, yeah. It's not about like reveling in it and necessarily, I mean,
ironic.
It would just be fitting. Yeah, fitting for that to happen.
Bring it full circle.
Full circle a little bit there. It's like finally, you're on the other end of that. And it's kind of a nice, it's not about hating on Andy as much as it's just a nice feeling to not be on that end of it that time, to be on the right end of that. So that's all I've got.
This is like, by the way, Angelo Cataldi, of course, is retiring.
Isn't that weird?
This is his Super Bowl.
I'm kind of that part of
the Eagles going up against he hated Andy Reid.
But that part makes me nervous. That makes me feel like the Eagles might lose, because it would be very, it'd be very fitting that Andy Angelo, who was too hard on Andy, notoriously ends his career by Andy winning the Super Bowl, and then he just has to leave radio.
Right.
Although the other,
it's like, you know, like if you get burned so badly on Twitter, you like, you know, delete your account. Well, in this case, if like Andy beat the Eagles, it's so bad. Okay, you got to retire, Angelo.
Or on the flip side, he goes out in the best way for him possible. The best way for his bit possible. It's like, see, I told you, Andy's a fraud. The Eagles beat him. Now I'm leaving. So I guess you could kind of spin it both ways.
Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts, Jimmy?
I'm very excited to go out to Arizona. I leave Sunday morning. We are probably going to, I mean, Brandon and I, that is, are probably going to do two pods at a minimum, I would say. Maybe more. We're going to kind of play it by ear. I don't know what I got to get the lay of the land out there before I understand like what
things are
my
in
time
flux.
Constraints are going to be and such. But yeah, sort of, we'll play it by ear, but yeah, I'm very excited to go out there. This Super Bowl is going to be my final thought is this Super Bowl is going to be way better in terms of just, enjoyment,
not being in the cold
from geographical standpoint. There were times I'd wake up that week, and you can relate, I'm sure, where you'd look at your phone, they could be like -2, and you'd be like, "Oh, it's a beautiful day out there." Like there are days you wake up, it was like -20 something. It's crazy how cold it was out there. One of the dumbest things I've ever done was I woke up one morning and the shuttle wasn't so. Just to set the climate there. There is the Mall of America, which is enormous, and then there's a huge parking lot all around it, and then there are like hotels that are like on the outskirts of the parking lot. And if you were to walk from the hotel to the mall, my hotel to the mall anyway, it was probably like, I don't know, 0.4 miles or something like that. Shuttle wasn't there one morning when I woke up, and I'm like, I'm just gonna walk, and it was like -20 something, and it was like. I remember like I'd gotten out of the shower and my face was still like kind of not completely dry, not wet, but like not, you know, kind of like that after shower kind of moisture, I guess. And but it was sunny out too. This actually happened to me another time at the combine one year, but it was also when it was really cold, it was also really sunny. So I had my sunglasses on and I walked the 0.4 miles or whatever. It was the most miserable walk I've ever had in my life. It was horrible. And I got into the mall and I went to take my sunglasses off and they're stuck to my face. so like, that's how cold it was out there. Arizona, I took a little peek ahead. It's going to be 60s, 70s. The lows are surprisingly like 30s, 40s, which I wasn't expecting to see. I guess it does get cold in the desert. Not cold, but cool in the desert during the winter. But, you know, 60s and 70s during the day. Sign me up for that for 8 or 9 days all day, you know, February 60s, 70s. I'll take it.
All right. We will figure out as we go kind of what the schedule is, maybe seeing if we can get some guests or whatnot.
Both
I know Jimmy on your end, potentially, maybe if you bring your mic set up with the, like you did in training camp, maybe we can see if we can get any specials, any predictions from people out there. It's Super Bowl week. So things are crazy. We're kind of just trying to, we don't know. We don't have it. There's no like
everything's on the
you
fly.
Go in. Yeah. You go into it with a plan in your mind, but it's just chaos and it doesn't go that way. It's insane. Yeah. I remember last Super Bowl, just the amount of emails. Just it was a nightmare. Like I would get like 200 emails like a day, just from like people like, hey, do you want to do this? Or like, there's so many different people who want to like. A lot of it's like there's gambling stuff. Then there's like promotion. Hey, you should promote this product, and or hey,
come on my radio show,
or like just a lot of stuff that.
This is so-and-so from Alberta, Edmonton, or Edmonton, Alberta, sorry. for whatever SXQ radio station, I'm sorry, like I can't.
But things too, not even beyond that, of like just things that are like tangentially related to the Super Bowl. I got an email yesterday of something about like talking to David Tyree about his helmet catch. I'm like, why do I care? Like, no one, my audience does not care about this. And whatever. Like, I know the people who are sending that clearly don't understand that. They're just doing their PR, whatever job it is they have. So I'm not trying to hate on them for not knowing, but like, it's just, there's just a bombardment of so many things that just like come across your path. So point being, gentle listener, why I'm bringing it up is not to say we have it hard. It's just to say there's a lot of different things going, a lot of balls in the air, if you will. So just trying to navigate the chaos and do our best here. I'm sorry again for not having an episode earlier this week. Just different things going on that didn't really make that conducive. So we'll be back with you next week. And we appreciate you rocking with us. And we have a Super Bowl to preview next week. Very exciting. It's almost too much, Jimmy. It's too much of a lead up. It's just like, I almost wish they could just play the big game this weekend. Because it's just, there's so much waiting. It's just by the time the Super Bowl gets here, you're just like, you're not over it. Because obviously you want to
see
it. You're
fatigued.
But yeah, you're just like, come on.
You're already tired.
Let's get the game.
Yeah,
come on. There's so much, so much build up. So, but hey, we have a week to go. So we'll make the most of it. And one last time this season, we'll see this Eagles team. So, and a lot of these players and coaches potentially for the last time ever all together in one place. So it'll be fun. All right, Jimmy, why don't you tell me where I should go if I can do buy, sell, or rent a house?
Oh, yes. Kristen Roach, Roach Realtors, 856-906-9295. Again, 856-906-9295 if you are looking to buy or sell your home.
RighteousFelon.com. Discount code BGN15 for 15% off your order. Meat snacks, non-meat snacks, all their offerings. Check them out at the website. In addition to WildRangerPet.com, 15% off dog treats by using the same discount code BGN15. Leave us a rating, review, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll have plenty of coverage for you here on the podcast feed. BleedingGreenNation.com for my work, PhillyVoice.com for Jimmy's work. Check out our social media handles and such in the episode description below. And we'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.